Counsel the Word, a podcast of the Center for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship. I'm your host, Keith Palmer, and today we're going to be talking about secrets to passing your ACBC exams. Well, I'm very grateful to have Pastor Terry with me today, my partner in crime here at Grace Bible Church. Terry, it's always a joy to be with you. Thanks for the conversation on how we can help friends pass their ACBC exams.
Thanks, Keith. Always great to be with you.
So you and I have both had a privilege over the years working with ACBC. We both functioned as graders, where when a person is working on their certification with the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, one of the phases that they're going to go through to achieve that certification is successfully passing two comprehensive examinations, one on theology and one on the application of that theology to counseling practice. And that's always a point that people are very nervous about, and it's often the part of the process that takes the longest. And so you and I, in our ministries here over the years, have taught classes on how to prepare for those things and how to ready ourselves to be successful. And then, of course, you and I have also functioned as graders, so we've done a lot of grading over the years where we're doing that official grade for ACBC. So I think that this is a great conversation to have because many people are doing that on their own and they don't have any help and whatnot. So maybe just generally to start off, if there's someone out there and they're thinking about ACBC certification and those exams are sort of the daunting hesitancy in their heart, what would you say to that person in terms of why they should do it and what are some things that they could do maybe generally to prepare for those exams?
Well, yeah. In fact, when I was first introduced to ACBC back in that day, it was NANC, and I remember seeing the list of questions, and I had that same response of, wow, that looks daunting, and that was even thinking about it as a pastor and theological training, seminary training, and all that. But even looking at that exam, the first time I saw it, I thought, you know, thinking through all of those questions and writing them in a concise way will really be helpful to me in just communicating biblical truth and understanding the concepts in a simple and concise way. And I think that in and of itself makes the exams worth writing. The people will just grow and benefit themselves, which is a big part of the whole counseling training process. It's about the transformation of the counselor himself. So that's to me, that's an important part of why to write the exams. When I wrote the exams years ago, I thought, I'm certain there's going to come back a number of questions for a rewrite because it'd be good for me, for the humbling process of learning and growing. And I tell people that all the time that, you know, when you get these back and there are rewrites, take them as opportunities to grow and develop and mature. It's not something that's personal. It's shaping, it's mentoring, it's discipling at a very basic level. And that can only be to the advantage of the counselor. Really, it's in a sense putting the counselor in the counselee's spot where they're going to be asking counselees to do things. And it's helpful for the counselor to have gone through some of that themselves, just recognizing, hey, I need to grow and change as well. So that's another reason why writing the exams is really a good thing for everyone to do.
Yeah. And just again, maybe people are not familiar with this. So these exams, they're open book, open note, essay style.
Yeah.
You don't go to an exam center and you know, dim lights and a time frame or something like that. And they're open book, open note. You write at your own pace and then you submit them. And then as you're alluding to, the exams are graded and you either pass or you're given rewrites, you're given an opportunity to fix those answers. So it really is a process of learning. Yeah. We're not trying to just, you know, fail everybody. Now, if what you believe falls outside of the doctrinal statements of ACBC, well, then, yeah, that's going to be, a concluding situation. But for the most part, we're trying to work with people and trying to help them articulate that. You also alluded to the fact that you and I cheated because we went to seminary.
Yes,
so, we definitely have an advantage there. But many people out there did not have that privilege. And just the thought of this, not just knowing and articulating it, but as you alluded to, we're writing in a concise way, 1 to 1.5 pages. For questions like explain the Trinity, you know, so it's like, wow, that's hard to do if I had, you know, 100 pages, right?
Yeah.
So give us some tips for people that haven't had that privilege of going to seminary or having formal theological education. What are some general tips that you might give them to approach these exams?
Well, I think one of the best things they can do is something you've already alluded to as well, and that is you've been teaching a class here for years on an ongoing basis. Every week you're teaching through at least one, sometimes I think two questions to take people through the exam over the course of roughly a year or so. So they can link that. They can call our church office and get the Zoom link for your class on Thursday mornings. We also offer as part of our training an exam track. So that'll be done in September, October, November this year. And we'll take people through every single question. And so we'll talk about the significant things that are in that question and need to be covered. And that can just be really helpful. That'll give the test takers resources. It'll give them things they need to be thinking about, definitions, help to shape them about how to direct the questions. So that's really helpful. So I think that's a good place to start. And then beyond that, just do the reading. So all of the reading that's assigned in ACBC, all the resources are going to be geared towards those questions and helping them. So extensive reading will also help them. I think as a practical matter, when I wrote the exams, what I did is I familiarized myself with all of the questions, and then I just started taking notes. So as I was doing reading in my theologies or theology of biblical counseling or counseling the hard cases, those kinds of things, I would go to questions that were related to what I was reading, and I'd just make notations. Say, C. Stuart Scott, counseling hard cases, pages, whatever it was. And just making notes on those questions. So when I open up the question in my document, I already had a jump start on where to go. And I found that to be really, really helpful in helping to prepare me to write the exams.
I think it's strategies like that can help a lot of students, because you got to read 1,000 pages of reading from the ACBC reading list, then you have to do these exams.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is you can actually intertwine those in a way that makes your reading more interesting, because you're reading for a specific purpose and also benefits you on the exam side. And that's one of the things we do, as Terry alluded to, in our conferences here and also the class that I teach. I know our friend Pastor Brian Gaines over at Grace Community Glen Rose in our neighboring town here, he does something similar in his classes, and that is we're integrating the reading with the exams, and that can be very beneficial in terms of you're not doing two separate things. You're doing two elements that both serve each other.
In fact, you can do the same thing with basic training. So mm-hmm. as you're going through basic training, if you're doing basic training with the intent of getting certified, as many of our folks are,
yeah.
You can make notations as you're going through the basic training and say, hey, the questions mm-hmm. or the notes on this session will yeah. relate to questions 1, 4, and 7
right.
in the theology exam.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be super helpful. Mm-hmm. I mean, the basic training is basic training.
Yeah.
And it does integrate with the exam mm-hmm. with the exam questions very much,
mm-hmm.
and that can be real helpful.
So, as a grader, what are some of the common errors you see grading exams that might give our listeners some tips of things to avoid or look out for?
Yeah. So I have some tips about what the graders are looking for. This sounds kind of ridiculous, but read the question.
And then answer it.
Answer the question.
don't leave parts out.
Yeah, exactly. And very often, the answer will be fine as far as it goes, but too often it leaves parts of the question out. So many of the questions are multifaceted.
Right.
Some of them very clearly so they delineate mm-hmm. 3 or 4 questions, and I'm looking for all 4 of those mm-hmm. to be answered. And so sometimes the rewrite is simply, hey, you have answered parts 1, 2, and 4 well, but you skipped number 3. Please go back and address this issue. If you need some help, here's some resources to help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
So read carefully, answer the question well. We are asking for key terms to be defined. So if there's something that is a significant term, substitutionary atonement, that needs to be clearly explained and articulated. You need to clearly explain and articulate whether you hold to a complementarian or an egalitarian position. We're asking for that, so be sure to do that. I'm wanting to know, is the writer writing with clarity? So I often put myself in the counselee's chair as I'm reading the exams, and I say, if they're explaining it in this way to me, will that be helpful to me? Will I clearly understand what they're saying? Or is there confusion? Is it muddled? Do they seem to go back on the answer and waffle? So I'm looking for a clear and concise explanation and answer. I'm wanting to know, do they understand the key biblical texts that relate to this? You've already alluded to it. It's a page and a half at the most. And we're talking about the Trinity. We're talking about the attributes of God. And we understand that when you talk about six attributes of God in a page and a half, you can't give the full explanation. But do you have key texts that you're going to and explaining, alluding to, that help us to understand that you understand that issue? And so you've alluded to this as well. Do the question or do the answers align with the ACBC statement? And if you're not sure what the ACBC statement is, just look on the website. All that information is there, the things that are critical for us. Make sure you've aligned yourself well with those. Mm-hmm. And if you have questions about it, even before writing the exam, contact the ACBC office and say, hey, I'm a trichotomist. Is there a place for me in the ACBC organization? Mm-hmm. That's an important question. Yeah. And so if you're not aligned theologically, mm-hmm. make sure to do that even before you spend.
Yeah, you don't put all that work on what might be a fatal error. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with that, too, I think when you were mentioning, answer all the parts of the question, make sure you're not leaving any out, it helps the grader. If there are four parts to the answer, that there are four nice paragraphs. Make your grader happy. I have to go hunting and pecking through, a ongoing running narrative, and you might touch on all four of those parts, but it's very hard to detect. That
Agreed.
Makes it much more difficult on the reader. And as you're mentioning, we're not just evaluating, did you get the answer right? Did you get the content right? We're trying to evaluate in some measure how you communicate truth.
Yep.
You're fond of saying here at Grace Bible Church that a cloud in the pulpit is a fog in the pew.
Yes.
And that's true in counseling, right? If it's not clear in your head and if you can't articulate it verbally, you're not going to be a very successful counselor. And understanding you're in process at this point, you're not ready to be released yet, but still that's part of what we're trying to evaluate there. And then just things like, are you keeping within the page limits?
Yep.
You mentioned the attributes question. Sometimes we give a little grace, on those longer ones, but don't write 10 pages on that.
Yep.
And if you're writing 10 pages on all of them, it's going to get sent back even before it gets to the grader.
Yeah.
The office will flag it and ask you, hey, get it back within the page range.
Yeah, in fact, that very question, I had an exam one time where the writer wrote 9 pages. And I just flagged it. I said, hey, this is helpful mm-hmm. material, but you've got to get it to a page and a half. And she wrote back and she said that it was really helpful for mm-hmm. her to get it down. Mm-hmm. She said, honestly, I was really dealing with a fear of man issue and wanting to impress with what I knew. And so it was helpful to get that correction. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated the humility.
The honesty,
and it goes to the very thing that we talked about at the beginning.
Yeah.
That this is
when you're writing more than Stephen Charnock,
that's
not
right.
what we're looking
that's
for.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think the other thing, Keith, that is really critical, what I typically find, and I suspect you have as well, most of our counselors in training do fairly well on the theology exam. Most of us, that's kind of our wheelhouse. Many of us, that's the way we think. And answers tend to be quite biblical. People are wanting to be careful and precise in the theology area, so they lean on their Bibles. They're reading Charnock and MacArthur and Grudem and others. But then they get to the counseling exam, and it's like, I just fondly say, it's like they've
lost my Bible.
Even worse, Keith, I think they've lost their Bible.
Oh, no.
It is remarkable to me how often answers in the counseling exam are just devoid of biblical truth, as if I need the Bible for theology, but I don't need the Bible to connect theology to life.
Yeah.
And the Bible, that's why we have the Bible. It's a resource book for how to live and how to grow in the process of sanctification. So I regularly say on the exam, your answer needs to be overtly biblical. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be clearly articulated coming from Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so make sure on your counseling exam that you're not losing your Bible. But
that's good. And it is, it's practical theology, right? And so it still needs to derive from the text. And so I would say it like this. I would say make sure all your main points in both the theology and counseling exam are supported by appropriate Scripture.
Yep.
And because you have limited space, don't fill your answer with just quoting Scripture. Maybe a key text, and then just citing texts that teach the main point that you're trying to make, and that'll help you stand that range. But yes, biblical counselors use the Bible, and we want to see that on every single one of your exam answers.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right. So we've talked about some strategies here, some tips, some common mistakes that you and I see over and over and over again. If someone wants to do this, how long do you think it would take somebody if they're like, okay, I want to do this and I'm trying to weigh the time commitment on that? If you were telling somebody, okay, here's how long it's going to take and here's kind of what I would recommend you do, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I would tell them as much as you can, set aside big chunks of time. So, you know, we want to redeem every minute and be careful with every minute, but that's not where your exam is going to be written well. You need large chunks of time. So I would say try and set aside hours, at least one day a week, over an extended period of time. And if you can set aside, say, 4 to 6 hours one day a week where you're concentrated, you're sitting at the desk, not moving away from the desk for that period of time and just concentrating on it. Over the course of a year, you can probably get it done in a reasonably. So, I'm thinking one question a week, 4 to 6 hours on that one question. Some will be able to move more quickly. Some are going to take perhaps even a little bit longer than that. But if you've taken the exam class or you're taking a class like what you do on a weekly basis, that's really the ideal. Take the class on Thursday, set aside Friday afternoon or Monday morning to work on that exam question that you just had taught to you. And then on the following Thursday, you get another question and away you go. And over 44 weeks, roughly a year with vacations and so on, you can get that done in a timely manner. Or maybe you're a pastor or an elder. Maybe you're retired, have some available time. I'd say set aside even bigger chunks of time. So set aside a week or 2 weeks where you're devoting 40 to 50 hours in that week. And that's the way you and I both finished our exams. We both had trouble setting aside that chunk on a weekly basis. Something always encroached on the schedule. And so setting aside a week or two to work through the whole exam would be especially helpful. And what I find helpful there, and I suppose you did as well, is everything coalesced for me at that point. I just started seeing connection points. Oh, this is why from the theology exam, this is how that relates to this on the counseling exam. So bigger chunks of time, think bigger chunks of time, longer periods of time as far as days and weeks. And you can move through the exam a little bit more quickly. But I think, reasonably, I think most people are going to expect upwards of a year. And maybe even more.
Yeah, and it really, like you said, it really depends on the season of life and what you can do. I would add to that, one of the things I've done for my students over the years is, sitting down with them individually, how much time do you have? Can you take a big block? And is it only, taking a chunk each week, like you're saying? And then crafting like an individual schedule of what's reasonable for them. And the schedule provides a bit of accountability, most of us do better with some structure. So that can be helpful. And then, we used to do this in the class where, we would kind of check in with everybody, did you get your answer done that you were supposed to get this week? And with that too, we found that working in a group like that can be better too. Now, what I mean by that is it's good to have brothers and sisters that are maybe doing it with you and encouraging and helping and sharing resources. Of course, everybody has to do their own work. Okay. They got to do your own work.
That's right.
And, no AI help or anything like that, but the accountability and the camaraderie and the encouragement and the sharing of resources can be a real value in doing that.
Yeah, Exactly.
Well, we hope our listeners out there that this has been helpful to you. We do encourage you in regard to getting ACBC certified. Both Pastor Terry and I have found it to be very valuable for our own walk with God, with our own ministries, even though we both are seminary trained, and then our team here and hundreds of other people that we've had the privilege of training over the years have found this process to be valuable both personally and in their ministries. So we hope that these tips have been helpful to you. Again, take advantage of, we're trying to make this easy as possible here at CBCD, so please come to our conference, check out our website resources. We might add our exam track material is all free online, the audio recording, so you can take advantage of that, or come see us on our Thursday class here on campus or Zoom. And then again, our friend Pastor Brian Gaines over at Grace Glenrose does a similar class, so lots of opportunities, lots of resources to help. But hopefully this conversation, no Gnostic knowledge here, but hopefully hopefully some helpful tips from your friendly brother pastors. Thank you for listening to Counsel the Word. For more information about the Center for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship, you can visit us at thecbcd.org.